Frank Sprenna here for 97 Through the Fan, our high school football podcast. We are previewing the City League here in San Diego County. We are now joined by the head coach of the Scripps Ranch Falcons. His name is Marlon Gardinera. Coach Gardinera, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well as well. We are getting ready for high school football. I'm excited for it. Scripps Ranch is going to be an exciting team, I think, this year. 6-4 a year ago, your JV team went 8-2. But this, from what you have told me in the past and from what other people have said, this is the year you guys got a class that's pretty good.
We do. It's year three for me, and so I've had a couple of years with these kids. They understand what we're trying to accomplish. They understand the culture we want to have in a football program here at Scripps. So you're right. I think this is the year. This is the one we've been waiting for.
Let's talk about the kids in a little bit specifically here. We went to the Top Dog, Madden video. I saw you there. We're talking. You had probably three of the tallest players there, if not the biggest players there. You had some size. Talk to us about those kids, and then I guess you got a story for us about how you grabbed a guy out of the band to be an impact player for you this year.
Well, yeah, we did, and he's one of those big guys. I think some teams will be surprised. We are a little bit bigger than we typically are. It starts with a new kid. He played as a freshman basketball player, 6'8", tight end, Grant Norberg. We're expecting amazing things from this kid. He's an athlete. He can jump. He's got great hands. He's kind of hard to deal with. There's really no other way to say it. We've got another solid tight end getting looked at by a few D1s. Mikey McGibney, who is just the prototypical big tight end, 6'3", 245, strong, great soft hands. And then there's that third one, and I think you started to touch on it. We have a kid who, for the last 3 years, has been in the band playing the tuba. His name is Josh Boama. He's about 6'3", 240. He runs a 4.5, 4.6. He's got a 32-inch vertical leap. He's strong as an ox, and he hadn't been lifting prior to coming out this fall. So he is absolutely a surprise player and an impact player at defensive end.
Well, we're excited to see Scripps Ranch get after it. Of course, you guys got the exact same schedule as you have from a year ago. Looking at the schedule, the opening game against Sarah, that's going to be a tough matchup for you guys. I know you guys are getting ready for it. What are some of the challenges that you're going to have to face with the Conquistadors coming to town on Friday?
Well, I have a pretty good relationship with Drew Smith, the head coach over at Sarah, and we've talked about kidnapping his quarterback. that guy can move. He can be a challenge. So obviously we're very aware of his mobility, and he's got an arm and he's accurate. So he's a threat. So I certainly know that's one of the things we're looking out for. Defensively, they're pretty strong. They're quick to the ball. So we're doing everything we can to prepare and take advantage of some of the things we think we bring to the game. But remember, they're poised to win a D4 championship. They really want it. They've been really close over the last few years, and Drew's really turned that program around. And then there's also the X factor. Sarah's very close to military housing in the Murphy Canyon area, and you never know who they're going to get every fall. They could get the next Heisman Trophy winner, for all we know. So we also have to try to prepare for surprises because they get an influx of new students every June, July from the Navy.
Well, that's definitely a challenge to play a team like Sarah week one. Then you play at Del Norte, you play Fallbrook, they got at Mira Mesa, a nice little rivalry game. Then, of course, La Jolla rounds up your non-league schedule. I know you put the schedule together 2 years ago. What was the mindset in scheduling these games in particular?
Well, we wanted to play teams essentially at our level. The program had been struggling for a few years prior, and one of the things you have to do if you're building a program and changing the culture is, number one, create a schedule where you can win some games. You can build some confidence, and you don't reach beyond your capabilities in the beginning. I think our schedule will get stronger as we move forward in the future. But there's some formidable foes in there. We played three or four D3 teams that we could hopefully end up playing again in the playoffs. But the thought initially was, this is where we are. Let's play teams around us and see how we size up, see what we can do and how we can develop the program.
You're looking at the league schedule. This is not a bad league here right now, the City League. Kearney is always pretty good of late. San Diego High just won a state championship. Patrick Henry has a brand new coach, a former NFL player, JT O'Sullivan. And then, of course, your alma mater, Mission Bay, in this league. What is it going to have to take for Scripps Ranch, to potentially, since you're right there on the cusp, to winning the City League this year?
Well, it's important, and it's definitely one of our goals. I think we have three big ones, and I think that's number two. Scripps Ranch hasn't won a league championship in 25 years, so what better time to go for it and do everything we can to get it? But you did list a couple of schools there that are rising quickly. Charles James has got a really good football program over at San Diego. You saw what they did, like you said, going to state. They're always difficult. They run that wing tee offense, and that's always hard to stop. If you look at the teams in the championship last year, a significant portion of them run some version of the wing tee, and it's just a difficult high school offense to stop. And then you have Kearney, and they just move fast. They've got a pretty good OC. Will Gray, the head coach, is a good friend of mine, but they, too, have turned around that program, and they're both on the rise. And both present real challenges or sort of roadblocks to getting that championship the boys really want.
Last thing I have with you, you get 17 guys coming back. How much of an experience factor do you think is going to play in to your guys' success this year?
You know, it's huge. The guys are comfortable with each other. Things like timing and trust and sort of how to work as a unit, they get it. And we've been working really hard. We get started in late January, and the boys have been consistent in their effort. And you know, we've got one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the country, quite frankly, in Todd Durkin. So you factor in experience, the fact that we got bigger and stronger, and the continuity of the whole thing. Those 17 starters it's huge, and then it makes it better that the other five were primarily sophomores who all saw significant game time last year. So essentially, with the exception of those two big new guys, everybody on the field has been there for a while. So we really, it has heightened expectations as a result of that.
Quick follow-up on your off-season program. You know, you mentioned Todd Durkin. His son is the quarterback, of course, and he runs, one of the great gyms out here in San Diego County. He is a former, trainer of professional football team, San Diego Chargers, when they're here. I know he's training a lot of NFL guys right now as well. What about Todd Durkin and the off-season program that Scripps Ranch has had this year? How has that developed your guys, over the last off-season?
We have, without a doubt, one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the nation, Todd Durkin, who, we joke around and say he's a trainer of the stars. He's got some pretty high-profile clients here in San Diego and some guys that fly in from all over the country to get trained by the best. He's our strength and conditioning coach. His son is our starting quarterback, and it's a perfect mix. It's a guy who works with Drew Brees all summer and then works with his own son. So it gives us opportunities, and it has helped us grow and get much stronger as a football program. You can't ask for things like this, and you certainly couldn't afford to pay for it. But Todd is generous with his time and his knowledge, and he's made us a better football team and program.
We here at 97 Through the Fan are excited for the Scripps Ranch High School football season. Coach Marlon Gardinera of Scripps Ranch High School, thanks again for joining us today. We look forward to talking to you later in the year.
We appreciate you.
Great sprint here as we preview the City League in the City Interconference section, rather. We're now joined by the Kearney Comets offensive coordinator, Verlaine Batofi, joining us today on the 97 Through the Fan High School Football Podcast, of course. Verlaine, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Braden? That season, that time where everybody's working in camp, trying to see how this 2019 season is going to unfold.
Let's talk about the Kearney Comets in terms of the 2019 camp. How are the Comets looking so far, and what have you seen from your guys as we get ready for week one?
I think our guys are really, really hungry. I think the best experience for us last year was playing in the CIF championship game last year, even though we didn't win. But I think that big game experience was what our guys were missing. You know, in the past, Kearney never really had big game experiences where they played in the championship game or deep playoff run. So I think our boys going through that last year really kind of, you know, put him in a different mindset as far as, like, knowing what to expect. And now when we play in big games, we're not going to be – I feel like we're a little nervous last year, but I think now that we played in two big games, you know, in a couple deep playoff games, I think we'll be ready. I'm real surprised, though. We've had – we lost a lot last year as far as most of our offensive skill guys, but we got some young guys in the waiting that I think that might end up being better than some of the guys we had last year. So it should be exciting to see how everything unfolds.
Let's talk about some of your players you have that are going to be an impact for the Comets. I know you know, like running the ball up and down the field, airing it out and what have you. What are some guys on offense, and who are the guys you've noticed on defense that you know, are going to be a real factor for the Comets this year?
So we got Mario. He was he's a Madison transfer. He was a three-year, you know, guy over there that played. So he came over. He's doing a really great job. He's a smart kid. Makes great decisions, you know, can run a little bit, has a good arm, is just the overall leader, you know, as far as quarterback. So we have a receiver. He tore his ACL last year, so he didn't play. His name is Devontae Fleming. I think by the end of the season, he's going to be a household name. I think he's a Division I guy. He's going to be a junior. We have another receiver. He's a Helix transfer. He played DB receiver. He's getting some Division I. He has some Division I offers right now. His name is Olan Kazad. He's a 6'3 kid, fast, athletic. You know, I think he's going to have a big senior season. Our running back is Nico Estrada. You know, he transferred over from Cathedral. He's going to have a big year as well. Our O-line is steady. We return four starters, Cypress Hill, Andrew Venero, Cedric Wells, and Anthony Watkins. So, you know, I think we're looking very good. We just have to we got to play up to our level. That's the key for us, is be consistent in practice and playing to our level.
Let's talk about Kearney in terms of, you know, not only playing in Division III this year, but you got a team in your league that's kind of been a pain for you guys over the last couple of years. They were paying for you in the CIF Championship game, of course, as well. What does Kearney have to do to get over the hump that is San Diego High?
I think last year I think the key for San Diego, I thought, was, you know, the prior year they played Monta Vista in the championship game, and then they ended up losing to them in that championship game. But I think after that loss, that team banded together. I felt like that team knew how it was to have big game experience. So, you know, I think they had the edge over us, and I think they were a little more physical than us last year. So, you know, a big emphasis with us this year was in the weight room in the offseason, being physical. You know, when you play teams like San Diego High, that were really, really physical. So I think we're good. I think, you know, playing them the last 2 years and, you know, kind of getting our guys back, our guys going through that big game atmosphere, I think we'll be ready for them this year.
Your league's shaping up to be a pretty decent league this year. You know, Patrick Henry, new coach JT O'Sullivan, who has some NFL experience. Scripture Ranch seems to be retooling and getting some players out there. Of course, that's their favorite class that they got rolling through there right now, probably their best class that they've had in a long time. And, of course, San Diego High and Mission Bay. What are some of the challenges you're going to have to face with this league coming in here when you get to league play?
I think it's just staying consistent. You know, the thing I've been preaching to these guys is about practice. I'm a big believer in how you practice is how you play. So we've put a big emphasis on just practicing at an all-time level. So, you know, once we get in the game, it should be a little easier for us, because we're so used to practicing so hard. So our practices have been very intense, and we also just need to play up to our standard. You know, we can't play certain teams that we don't think might be as good and play down to our level, and teams that are better and play up to their level. So we just have to play our brand of football, and I think we should be fine.
Let's talk a little bit about you and the Team Mikasi that you run. You have the Mikasi Bowl at the end of the year against the Inland Empire. You also run a 7-on-7 team as well. What drove you to start Team Mikasi? What does Mikasi mean? And what does it mean to you to help these kids out in terms of, you know, getting them more exposure and getting them opportunities to play?
Mikasi means strong in my native language in Lingala, which is Central Africa. I started Mikasi about 5 years ago, and the reason for starting it was, you know, me growing up in the inner city in southeast San Diego, I had a lot of my friends that were, you know, that were real talented and, you know, were smart, but we really didn't have no, like, role models or positive role models, at least, you know, that was trying to shape us in any way. And a lot of the athletes that went off to college, once they left, they never really came back, you know, back in those days. So I just kind of wanted to be somebody that, once I was done playing football, when I finished playing at Indiana State, I wanted to come back and be a difference in the community and just kind of help out. So, you know, we've done a lot with Mekasi as far as just the mentoring aspect as well. You know, the 7-on-7 and Mekasi Bowl, you know, trying to, you know, help guys with, you know, get college scholarships and different things like that. So it's just been a ride, and it's been amazing, and we've just grown over the years. And it's something that's a blessing, you know, just trying to help these young guys get to that next level and kind of, you know, accomplish their ultimate goals.
Let's talk about Kearney again. We're week one for you guys this week. You got Calexico coming to town. It's a long drive for Calexico. I know you watch film, so you know, what are some of the things that Calexico does that might be you know, kind of a problem for Kearney maybe on Friday?
This year, I think they switched up their defense a little bit. Last year, they're more of a cover three team, but this year, I think they're going some cover two man and trying to man up. So. I don't know. As long as we play our game, I think we should be fine. That's what I tell these guys is, you know, let's not really focus on our opponent. Let's focus on ourselves. If we can get the best out of ourselves and execute the game plan and kind of execute what we've been taught and coached to do, you know, we should put ourselves in a good situation against any team. So I think that's really been the mindset is do what we have to do, you know. Don't worry about the other team. We're going to, you know, we're going to scout for them. We're gonna know what they do, but let's control what we do. Let's bring our best effort. You know, everybody do their job, and if we all do their job collectively, it comes together. So that's really been our big, you know, kind of emphasis this summer and this fall has just been doing our job. Everybody doing it to the best of their abilities, from coaches to players to water girls to trainers to everybody.
Everybody's doing their job, and hopefully you guys will have a party in the end zone, if I'm not mistaken, there for the Kearney Comets.
Definitely.
Coach Verlaine Batofi, the offensive coordinator of the Kearney Comets, joining us today. Verlaine, good talking to you as always. We look forward to talking to you down later in the season, and I'm sure I'll see you on a football field in a couple weeks here or so.
Appreciate it, Braden. You do a great job out here, too, for the community. I appreciate you.
Braden Sprint back out again, previewing each and every league here on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego High School football, we're getting ready for it. We're in the City Conference right now. We broke down Central. We're breaking down the City. We're breaking down the Eastern League. We're breaking down the Western League. All of that with, of course, none other than Top Dog. Top Dog, how you doing?
I'm great tonight. Thanks for having me, Braden. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're getting excited for high school football. I know you're getting giddy over there. You can't. The offseason's finally over. We got scrimmages this week. We got games next week on August 23rd. We got the high school football show starting on 97 Through the Fan from 9 to 11 each and every Thursday. We're going to be broadcasting 14 games on the radio on 97 Through the Fan, starting up with Granite Hills at Poway on August 23rd. We're excited for it here at 97 Through the Fan. I know you're excited for it at KUSI and the PPR. Let's get to it.
Season 21 starts for us next Friday, so of course I got to give you a shameless plug to that.
Oh, dude, I've been plugging stuff all night. You can plug the PPR as well. Let's get to the City League. The City League in the City Conference, it's Kearney, San Diego High, Scripture Ranch, Patrick Henry, Mission Bay. You just heard those five schools. What's the school that pops out to you the most?
I don't have a school. I see this as a three-dog race. And
who are your three dogs?
My three dogs are going to be Kearney.
Okay.
San Diego.
I agree.
And surprisingly, I'm going to say Scripps Ranch.
I agree with all that, actually, as a matter of fact. But we got a lot of interesting storylines with some of these teams. We got Scripps Ranch, who, you know, this is their year. This is their class. This is their dogs. These are their guys.
This is
right? We keep hearing out of Scripps Ranch. Then when this class gets to where they're at right now, this is the one we're going to win with. They got a lot of guys coming back. They got a lot of young guys. They got a lot of good players that they're going to, you know, be ready to reckon with over there at Scripps Ranch. We'll get to them in just a little bit. San Diego High, of course, state championship team last year. Whether or not they can come back with the same force. You know, they lost some key pieces, but, you know, Charles James doing an unbelievable job down there at San Diego High, totally resurrecting that program in terms of the grand scheme of things. Because when I was playing high school football, San Diego High was going 0-10 every single year.
How about 0-30?
Exactly.
It was pretty bad for a while.
The fact that he turned around and could win some games.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden they're, you know, competing with some teams. They're slowing the game down, and they're playing some good football. And winning a CIF championship is tremendous for school. It's been around for over 100 years.
Not just a CIF championship.
A state championship. Exactly.
That's impressive.
And then you got Kearney. You got a nice little rivalry over there. They're getting some guys. They're making some plays. They're scoring a lot of points, those Kearney Comets are. And those three teams, this is going to be – usually it's not that fun of a league. This is going to be a fun year for this league. It's going to be fun to watch. And then you got new coach JT O'Sullivan over there, Patrick Henry. You got an NFL guy coming down to coach. And then, of course, you got Mission Bay rounding it out. So let's start with Kearney. We go from alphabetical order, essentially. Go through it. We'll rip through the schedule. Let you know who's going to win, who's going to lose. We'll give you some kids' names. Get you fully ready to go for the City League here in the City Conference in the San Diego section of high school football. The big pickup here, I think, was last year with Verlaine Batofi getting the offensive coordinating job. I've worked with Verlaine before. Say what you want about Verlaine, but the guy scores points. I mean, yes. It doesn't matter what team he's coaching for. He scores a lot of points. And Kearney has scored a lot of points since he's arrived. The biggest problem with Kearney the last couple of years has been, all right, we score a lot of points, but we also give up a lot of points. They're going to have to work on their defense for that case as well. To me, they are my favorite to win the league this year.
Let me back up. I'll say this. Kearney's been there, and they've made it to the big game. But there's one team in that division, that league, they can't beat.
And their division.
Yep. And up to this far, San Diego's owned them. Let's be completely honest about it. Whether it's at Kearney or at San Diego, whether it's during the regular season or in the playoffs, that's become the rivalry of the 163. At the north end of the 163, you got Kearney. At the south end of the 163, you got San Diego. Those guys beat up on each other. And if you look at the schedule, that's the last game of the regular season, and it's senior night for San Diego.
That's going to be a fun one. That could determine
who the actual league champion is that game.
Well, absolutely, unless Scripps Ranch just decides to roll with it and clean house. But you never know. I still think Kearney's my favorite, I think, for this league. Just because San Diego High lost some guys, and I think Kearney's better than Scripps Ranch. That is just my opinion. I think Kearney is the team to beat right now in that league. I know San Diego High's done it. I know San Diego High owns Kearney. I know until they get knocked off, they got to be the top dog. I'm going with Kearney this year. They went 11-2 last year. I know those two losses are San Diego High. I know that, Chris. I know as you're grinning over there. People that are listening cannot see the facial expressions that Chris has been giving me all night long for anything that I've said. But Kearney is my favorite to win this league. I think they win that last game against San Diego High. You know what I was saying earlier about scheduling and teams playing teams that are very caliber? I don't include Kearney in that deal per se. They open up with Calexico. They're playing Montgomery. They're playing at Morse. Morse is not too bad of a game. University City might be a mandatory class league thing. I don't really know. They got Hoover later in the year.
Are you saying they're playing some cupcakes?
I'm just saying they're not playing teams up to their caliber, is
Ouch.
What I'm saying.
I wonder how Verlaine's going to feel about that.
It's all right,
how
dude.
Coach Will Gray's going to feel about that.
I'm just saying. You open up with Calexico.
All right, well.
I remember when my dad coached at Saints, they played Calexico, and it's like, why are we even playing this game?
Ouch.
It's just
Calexico,
like,
I'll tell you guys, I don't think Braden's high on your program.
It's not up to the standard that Kearney is.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
If you want to be, like, you're Kearney, right? And you want to be like San Diego High, you should start scheduling like San Diego High. San Diego High scheduled Lincoln last year, and they were close to beating Lincoln last year. Kearney's got Calexico, Morse is not going to be as good as they were last year, but that's still not a bad program for them to play. I just think Kearney they're good enough where they can start scheduling teams like maybe Mira Mesa or maybe Christian or maybe somebody in the Eastern League instead of scheduling teams down in the Central League. I don't know. What is your take? You're giving me grimaces. What do you got?
I'm going to leave you out on an island on this one up there. I'm not going out on that tree branch with you on this one. I think Kearney's right where Kearney needs to be. I think this is going to come down to the end. However, let me flip the script a little bit. I hear that you want to take Kearney to win league.
I pick him to win league.
I'm going to go a different route. I think that San Diego is going to win this league. I think that
that's what we differed with the Central League. We can differ with the City League.
Sophomore quarterback Jaden Green is going to be something that they haven't seen yet, and I think he has a wrinkle to him. Everybody knows about Mo Jackson, one of the best running backs in San Diego County. You add in Rico. You add in a couple of the key players, receivers and corners like Andre Peoples. They're going to be well coached, not to mention the fact that they got 2 former NFL guys as coaches. I mean, you got Stephen Cooper, and now they added the cornerback, so Quentin Jammer, it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, look, I respect Kearney, but San Diego's got a tougher schedule. They've got a little bit more depth.
They definitely have a tougher schedule. I'll definitely agree with you on that one.
I'm going to have to take San Diego. I think they're just going to be a little bit more well-rounded, and I think they've been there in the big games. They've been there, and they've consistently won those big games, and until Kearney beats them, they're the team to beat.
All right, I'm going to make you play devil's advocate. Why is Kearney going to win this league?
Why is Kearney going to
win this league? All right, let's just pretend that we switch roles here. Why is Kearney going to win this league?
Because Mario Alves has a league outside of his mind this season. He finally lives up to all the potential that everybody sees in him, and he takes these guys over the top. The transfer, Olan Kazad, has an incredible year at wide receiver, and the former Don over there, now turned running back, is going to have an incredible year at running back.
Nico Estrada?
Yep.
I coached that kid. So if he does anything well this year, Verlaine, you're welcome. That's all I got to say.
Oh,
Nico's a great kid. I love
Shameless
I was
plug for coaching
I liked
there.
I liked again, your event. I'm going to give you two plugs back to back podcasts here. Got to run into Nico. It was cool seeing him and seeing his dad. It was a nice event. Nico's a great kid, and he's a great football player. He's going to have a good year again. It doesn't matter where he is. He would have had a great year for us at the Dons, but he's going to have a great year at Kearney, and I know his brother. He's going to play with his brother for the first time ever. I was talking to Nico at the Madden shoot that you guys did, and I said, where's his crew's at Kearney too? He's like, yeah. I was like, he's going to play freshman ball? He's going to play varsity. He's like, I was like, you ever played with your brother before? He's like, no, this will be the first time. I was like, well, that's going to be fun for you.
That's pretty cool.
You know what's going to be fun for? It's going to be fun for his dad.
For Henry? Oh,
absolutely. Henry's going to
love that.
He's going to love that.
He's only going to make one trip instead of, you
right?
know, five trips around the county.
You have two sons, right?
I do.
Having your two sons play or do something together at the same time is what?
It's amazing.
It's got to be great.
It's amazing.
I don't have kids, so I don't know that feeling yet, but one day I'll talk about that. But we've done enough talking about Kearney. I've bashed their schedule enough. Again, Verlaine, Drew, it's not personal. I just don't think the schedule's up to it. I think you guys are better than the schedule you play. That's just, I have high expectations for you.
Okay, so when I get those phone calls, when Will calls me or Verlaine calls me,
Will can call you, and I'll just be like, dude, it's nothing personal. I don't like your schedule.
Yeah,
and that's
enough.
Fine. And who cares what I think? I'm just sitting here talking in front of a mic. I don't really care. I know they don't care. They're going to go play the game.
Well,
I have them going 8-2.
Let me say this. I'm going to enjoy one thing, and that is watching senior Ezekiel Paredes play for the San Diego Cavers this year.
Save your thought, because we're going to get to San Diego.
Right.
Yeah, you're super high in San Diego. You're like, Maffey was incredibly in on Escondido High, by the way.
They're a good team.
They're going to be good.
They're a good team.
But they're not the best team that's ever happened, ever. And Maffey was going, I think they're going to win their league, and I think they're going to be in a good spot. But, dude, pipe down with San Diego. We're going to get there. Relax.
We're going to go
to Mission Bay. And it stinks to talk about Mission Bay because, you know, Dane Roman was one of my coaches when I was at Cathedral. It was for a limited time, but I knew who he was as a person and everything that went on with that situation. You know, as the San Diego community that's listening to this, the high school football community, all of us were, you know, definitely saddened by the news and touched by the news and feeling for Mission Bay High School. And, you know, not only for him and his family, but the kids that he was excited to coach over at Mission Bay this season. And that's tough for anybody to go through, let alone a bunch of high school kids that knowing that their head football coach is no longer with us. It might be a tough season for Mission Bay. We'll see what happens. But anytime you see a death in a sports team of any, we saw it with Tyler Skaggs this year in baseball and with the Angels. You've seen it before with Jose Fernandez and the Marlins and what have you. So it's going to be a tough year for Mission Bay. It has a chance to bring the team together. On the downside, it can turn into something really poor. It could be a very big distraction and tough for kids. So we'll see how Mission Bay does with the distraction. Are coming off a 2-8 season last year, beat Claremont, San Ysidro. They have to play Claremont again. Their schedule is a little bit more difficult in terms of they get University City on the schedule, Mar Vista, and then the league, of course, is going to be tough for Mission Bay as well. I think it's going to be tough for them to win a lot of games this year. And I think they come in last in the. I think we're in agreement. Them coming in last in the city league. Do you think Patrick Henry's going to come in last?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I got to say, I'm not in agreement. I don't think they're going to finish dead last. I mean, I had a chance. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, some of the guys over there at Mission Bay played for my 7-on-7 All-Star team, the Dago Dogs.
Oh, dude, he's a bias
so
over here. You
I'm
weren't biased.
Biased
with your alma mater, but you're
Listen,
being biased with your...
Evan Aguillon's going to make a difference. I think they're going to be well-coached. I think they are going to rally together. I mean, A.J. Vines is named the interim head coach over there, and I think they're going to do a good job. I think they are going to be very well-coached. The most underrated player, obviously, to me in the entire probably county is probably Evan Aguillon. That kid's a phenomenal athlete, great hands, good speed. And the most underrated quarterback is that kid Chase over there. That kid's a phenomenal quarterback. He looks like he should be playing, like, he should be out riding a skateboard.
Wasn't he lighting up Helix in the 7-on-7 at San Diego State?
He beat Helix.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what Helix has. You beat Helix in anything in football.
Respect.
Hey, man, that's an incredible. And the thing was, is, you know, going into the season, they were excited about the players they had. They thought they had a nice little group of athletes down there. It's just whether or not, for me, they handle the distraction. If they do, They're going to have a good year. If not, we'll see. But it's tough for high school kids to go through stuff like this. Hopefully enough time passes before their first game. But it could bring the team together. And all of a sudden, this team could start ripping through some games.
I will say they do have a tough schedule, though. I do think for where they are as a program and being that, you know, the coach just left, coach passed away. You've got, you know, A.J. Vines interim. You've got Coach Mooney over there doing a good job. Coach Tate doing a good job. You know, you look on their schedule, they play La Jolla, UC, you know,
they got to go to Mountain Empire.
These are going to be, and they got to play at San Diego. And it's going to be tough. So, looking at that schedule, I'm probably going to say 3-7.
Is that their ceiling or is that their middle point?
That might be their ceiling. I mean, that's a tough schedule.
That's another reason why I have them going 2-8, 1-9. Type of deal. You know, with everything, and their schedule's tough for the team that is Mission Bay. The team that is Kearney, the schedule they have is not tough. The team that is Mission Bay, the schedule they have is tough. And a lot of the opponents are the same. A lot of them are the same.
Okay, that's fair.
Again, it's about the caliber of team that you are.
True. I would agree
and
with
I'm
that.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Cathedral didn't always schedule top teams when they were good back in the early 2000s and the late 90s. So it's not even like I'm on this high horse that we only schedule tough opponents, because not everybody used to schedule tough opponents. It's kind of like Kearney's gonna get in there, and then they're gonna start scheduling some guys. Hoping so.
You feeling some kind of way about that?
I'm about to call Verlaine right now and be like, dude, what is up with your schedule?
All right, where are we going next?
Patrick Henry, you know these kids. You didn't grow up out there, but you live out there. Your sons grew up out there. Yep. You know, it's a lot of the similar kids that you've seen at the young ages at Pop Warner and what have you. They come in 1-9. They got a brand new coach, JT O'Sullivan. He comes in with a team, again, 1-9 last year, negative 30.6 rating. When you get a guy that is an NFL guy and he comes in to coach, sometimes that first year is pretty tough. So we'll see what happens. They just got a new renovation. The renovations over there look pretty great. I watched the PPR highlights on Instagram of you guys going out and checking out the Henry practice. The press box looks like it's coming in nice. They got some buildings over there next to that giant retaining wall that had the Patriot on it the last time I played there. It's been a long time, but they have a very moderate to difficult schedule, if you will. Mount Miguel, I think, is going to be better this year. That's who they open up with. Morse, I think, will be tough for Patrick Henry. Monta Vista, you know Hamamoto is going to have his guys ready to play despite losing their top running back last year. El Cap, I saw them at your Madden Day. They got some big dudes on their offensive line. I mean, they got three guys that are pretty decent-sized kids. I think El Cap's going to be better. And then they got, of course, League with San Diego High, Kearney, Mission Bay, Scripps Ranch. And then they finish up the Rosera, which is not the worst team in the Central League by all means.
So you go out to Mount Miguel. Mount Miguel is going to be a lot better. I got a chance to see them in the USD passing tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They're dialed in. I mean, Troy's done a great job rebuilding that entire
program.
They're
not scrimmaging, by the way.
That's true. That's true. They are scrimmaging.
But, where are they scrimmaging now?
No, they're scrimmaging at Mount Miguel.
Oh, okay.
On August 20. Is that? Yeah, it's
no, that's first.
Game. Is it first game?
Scrimmages are tomorrow, the 15th and the 16th.
Oh, well, I apologize.
I think, the only reason I know that is because they dropped out of the scrimmage that I was going to go to tomorrow.
Oh, no, there you go.
But they didn't scrimmage last year either, so they'll be fine.
Mount Miguel is going to be a tough game. Morris is a running game. Linebacking core over Patrick Henry is pretty good. I think they could pull that game off. Monta Vista is going to be tough. El Cap's going to be tough. Benita Vista, I think they can beat Benita Vista.
So do I.
Looking at their schedule, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be San Diego. I don't think they're going to be Kearney.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they're going to be Scripps. I don't think they're going to be Sarah.
I'm 100% in agreement with everything you just said.
I'm going to say 4-6. 5-5 is the ceiling.
4-6. Who are the four wins against? Benita,
Morris,
Mission Bay. Oh, they're going to beat Morse. Okay,
Morris, Benita Vista. Okay, maybe 2-8, 3-7.
I have 2-8 right now.
Okay, I can see that.
I have them beating Benita and Mission Bay.
Okay.
And that's
Mission
about it.
Mission Bay is no walk in the park now.
I didn't say it was an easy win. Again, when I say they win, I never say it's easy.
Okay.
We'll get to San Diego's schedule next, actually. You're so excited to see talk about San Diego High. And no, you should
I
be. Because
I just think for Patrick, and I'll go back to Patrick Henry just a minute. I think with a first-year head coach, a new staff, adjusting to these kids.
New system for the
new
kids.
New system, you know, going five wide. A completely different defense than these kids have been running for the last 3 years under Mike Martinez. It's going to be a real, real big adjustment. Opening the new stadium, you know, they're very senior heavy. I think these guys are going to play with a lot of motion. It's going to be hard to keep these kids focused for 4 quarters.
I agree with you. I think we're actually in agreement. From top to bottom on this team, we're actually in agreement what we think is going to happen. But that's what makes this fun, because me and Maffey agreed on almost everything, and it was like, oh, yeah, all right. Well, dude.
Well, you guys are North County guys. I mean,
I'm not a North County guy, dude. I'm a city guy. I live in Scripps. That counts as they're in the city league. They're in the city limits. It counts.
Okay, you're south of the 52. You're a city guy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's fair.
South of the 56, city guy. Even though I went to school north of the 56.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's
even
like a
Cathedral
block,
doesn't even count. It could, they don't even consider them being part of North County.
They're not.
Yeah, they're not. City
they're
school.
One of us.
Yeah, exactly. You only claim them when they're good, huh? Is that the deal?
No, I claimed them when they were pretty bad. Now there were some years there. Don't get it twisted. There were
that
some
five
years.
And 7 year was brutal.
Yeah.
Moving on. This is the team you wanted to talk about, and by all means, you should talk about them, because San Diego High and what they have done, what Charles James has done with his staff and establishing his coaching staff, getting some NFL guys in there, totally revamping San Diego High to being a contender each and every year now, it seems like. State championship team from a year ago, CIF championship team for a year ago. Get this, they have a 91% probability, according to CalPreps, of going undefeated. I don't think they're going to go undefeated, but that's – again, remember I told you I don't pick teams to go undefeated.
Yeah, I know.
So I had to find – this was difficult for me to find losses for them.
Okay, tell me who they lose to.
First of all, I got 9 games on the schedule. I have 2 byes. Am I missing somebody?
Nope. They got 9 games.
So they got 9 games. Yeah. All right.
They didn't want to play Lincoln again, so.
Did they not want to play Lincoln again?
That's the rumor on the street. They didn't want to play Lincoln again.
That was they didn't want to go to Lincoln, and
it was a travel issue, or they just
they did well last year against Lincoln. I don't
they
know
had
you
him
wanna...
on the ropes.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a big league fight. And
that's
think,
surprising to me.
Not to me. I mean, if you think about
I guess
defensive coordinating and Coach Jimmy over there, they put basically they play with 8 DBs.
Yeah,
they scheme that game, and they almost
they make Gary Patterson's 4-2-5 look like not enough DBs. All right, let's go through their schedule. Ready
right.
for this?
Yep.
Crawford win.
Okay.
Then they got a bye.
Okay.
El Cap, I think they win that game.
Okay.
Orange Glen, that's a tough game for them, I think.
I don't think so.
Glen's going to have some.
They're one-dimensional. They're running team. Orange Glen's a running team.
So is San Diego High. San Diego High's a running
team. They shut down KO Patterson, and you got the interior D-line to do that and force him outside.
Their offensive line coming back is going to be pretty good.
Okay,
they got a lot of size.
That's a win for San Diego.
They got a lot of size. That was one of my losses I had for San Diego High.
Really? They lose to Orange Glen?
Right,
a D4 state
again,
champion
last year, and they lose to a D5 guy? Listen to me. What did I just say before? It was hard for me to find losses for this team.
Okay.
So I found Orange Glen.
Okay.
All right. At Sarah.
I don't agree, but okay.
At Sarah.
They beat Sarah.
I think they beat Sarah, too.
I think they
Then they got
Sarah.
A bye. Henry, win. Mission yep. Bay, win. Yep. Scripps Ranch, win. Coronado, win. Kearney, loss.
You're saying they lose to Kearney.
I do. Well, I picked Kearney to win the league championship.
Yeah, can't
Kearney can't win the league championship if they lose to San Diego High.
Can't agree with that one.
I told you.
Until you dethrone the Giant.
I know.
You can't
agree.
Say it. You can't
I agree.
Claim it.
I agree. That's fine.
And if they don't do it this year, what does Kearney do next year?
If they don't do it this year, they're never going to beat San Diego High. It's just straight up. That's just what it is.
Well, let me ask. Okay, so let's make a gentleman's bet between the two of us, okay?
What do you want, like a burrito or something?
No. It's got to be something a little bit more in the public so everybody can see this.
Okay? No, I'm not doing like no embarrassing stuff, dude.
No, I'm. We wear the school shirt for a week.
Oh, that's fine.
For a week. Yeah. No, we wear it at a game. So if Kearney wins, I'll wear a Kearney shirt because you're picking Kearney. But if San Diego wins, you got to wear a San Diego High Cavers shirt.
You're making it sound like repping the Cavers is like a bad thing.
That's true.
I mean, you're picking against them. I am picking against my grandfather's high school.
Ouch, man.
I know.
Isn't that against like your heritage?
I picked against Crawford and Hoover.
You didn't go there.
I know, but my other grandparents went there, too.
Oh,
hey, we're well-rooted here in San Diego.
Jeez.
I've been here a long time. But my family's been here a long time.
So how did you end up at Cathedral?
My mom went to uni.
Oh, okay.
My dad went to Grossmont, though. Oh, hey.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he coach there?
He did. Oh. We digress, though.
Sorry, guys.
I have, honestly, I have them going 7-2, but that's my basement for them because they can easily go 10-0. 91% undefeated probability raises a huge factor right there. Again, I don't want to pick teams to go undefeated every time because that's tougher. That's a tougher bet than having them lose two games. They could show up flat to Orange Glen.
They're going to run the table.
They're going undefeated?
They're going to run the table.
They're going undefeated. You're really high on San Diego High.
They're going to run the table, man. I got love for the Cavers. What can I say?
And you already talked about all their kids, so we can't go into the depth already because you were doing that during the Kearney segment. Totally taken away from poor the Kearney comments over there.
You're killing me.
Yeah, my dad coached at Kearney.
Where didn't your dad coach? A lot of schools.
That's going to be a lot. That's going to be a lot bigger list. Than okay. It was Grossmont, Santana, Kearney, Saints, Cathedral.
Wow. Is he Catholic?
Well, yeah, my mom made him be Catholic at least.
Oh, there you go.
His grandparents, or my grandparents were more Catholic than Again, stop talking about me. Again, we're talking about San Diego High, and now we're moving on to Scripps Ranch, which is my neighborhood. There you go. All right. Didn't go to that high school, though. I went somewhere else instead. 6-4 last year, 8-2 JV team. We know Coach Gardner is super excited. He was talking about it at your matting rating day. I've talked to him before every time he's at Todd Durkin's gym when he shows up late to workouts and then just kind of does some curls. So I got to throw in a jab to Marlon. He knows.
Wait, wasn't he your neighbor at one point?
He was across the street.
Okay.
He's one of the best neighbors to have.
Really? Okay, are you going to tell the story?
A quick story. All right. So he's in my neighborhood, we have this stupid rule where you can't park over on the street at night. For aesthetic purposes, it's stupid. So I left my truck on the street.
Not in my neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. So I left my truck on the street. I was in high school, and they ticket it, right? And then at 6 in the morning, they start towing my truck in front of my house. And Marlon sees it. He goes over to the guy towing the truck and just tears him a new one. I can't believe you're about to take this kid's truck for outside his house, yada, 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 whatever. Just unloads on him. The other time Marlon's a great neighbor was so my uncle, he like teaches piano in the area, but he's not from, he lives out in East County and then drives up and teaches piano in Scripps. So he stops by at our house every once in a while, just kind of lets himself in. So he's like trying to get into the back gate and Marlon just like sneaks up and is like, "Can I help you, sir? What are you doing over here? What
exactly?" And for those of you who don't know, Marlon is a very large African-American man.
He's a very large man. He is very large. He's a two-sport athlete at Mission Bay High School, played baseball at Oklahoma State.
I got a Marlon story when you're done.
All right, well, I'm done. That's it. He's a really good neighbor. I mean, there's other things too. Like he took his, he used to move land. I don't remember what he, but he had a giant truck that, a giant tanker truck that can spew water everywhere when the fires came. He took that out. He's blowing all over all the planters everywhere. Stayed back to make sure the houses were protected. Really good neighbor.
He's a good guy. So here's my Marlon story, real quick. We're 15 years old. Playing on one baseball team, he's playing another baseball team. Marlon at the time was, I think, 5'8", 225 pounds. And back in high school, that's pretty big. We have a pitcher that's throwing about 92 miles an hour. Coach calls me and says, "Chris, I need you to play third base." Okay, I'm an outfielder, but I came in and played third. So Johnny Verdeen laces 92 mile an hour fastball. I remember hearing the ping of the baseball off the bat, but I never saw the ball. The ball landed in my glove, hit my chest, and knocked me back on my rear end. Literally, Marlon almost killed me.
Wow.
So we have a long history together.
Well, we got the two Marlins stories in, but we got to talk about his team.
All right,
we're running out of time here. Scripps Ranch, -1.8 rating coming into the season. 17 of their 22 guys returning starters. They got Durkin at quarterback. Gardner's son's playing running back a little bit. He's got some good size. He grabbed a guy that was playing tuba in the band and turned him into a lineman. He says he's going to be very good as well. I got them going 7-3 this year. I think their ceiling is 8-2. Do they beat Mira Mesa?
Ooh.
Because I don't think they beat San Diego High or Kearney. But the difference between them going 8-2 and 7-3 is do they beat Mira Mesa at Mira Mesa this year?
You know, I'm going to plead the fifth on this one on grounds that both of the head coaches are good friends of mine, so I can't really pick that game. I don't know. I mean, that's going to be a tough game.
That's a good game.
That's a really good football game. Might be one to circle on the calendar.
When's the last time that was a really good football game?
Jeez, I can't even remember.
When was that a really good football game between Mira Mesa and Scripps Ranch? That's an obvious question.
It's been a neighborhood rivalry for a number of years, but for a number of years, both programs were down, and they weren't very good football teams at the time.
Well, for a number of years, Mira Mesa was also a really good football program compared to Scripps.
Yeah, Scripps. So it's been lopsided. I think these teams are very parallel. So that's why it's hard for me, man, because I know both coaches are, and I've got even former teammates of mine that are coaches at Scripps Ranch right now. So it's kind of hard. Like, I know how hard these guys work in the weight room, in the classroom, in the film room.
All I know is you're getting a phone call determining what doesn't matter what game you pick. I don't get that phone call. So I'm going to I might get a phone call from Marlin if I don't pick Scripps Ranch. Yeah. But I correctly picked their game last year. I said Scripps Ranch would lose to Mira Mesa by 3 touchdowns. They lost 21-0, and Marlin was like, I hate that you
got it right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hate that I got it right too. This year, this is the best chance I think Scripps has to beat Mira Mesa.
I don't know. Elijah Thomas is really good over there. Plus, you got Leo, that Mike linebacker. I mean, they got some dudes.
And I know Mira Mesa's got some dudes.
They got some dudes. And that quarterback over there, he's starting to dial it in, and he's getting good. That sophomore wide receiver, the guy's pretty damn good too, so darn good.
That being said, I still picked Mira Mesa.
You picked Mira Mesa?
I did.
Over Scripps?
I did last year too.
I don't know. I think that, look, like you said
earlier, I might not be able to get coffee at my local Starbucks right now.
You might not. But are you sure you want to do that? That's why I'm pleading the fifth, man. I'm not picking this one. I mean,
Somebody's got to do it.
Marlin, listen, I pleaded the fifth. He decided to pick Mira Mesa, so just remember that when you see him next time. Okay?
I'll wear a Scripps Ranch shirt. You want to make that gentleman's bet too? But you're not picking a side, so you'll just wear both, I guess.
I'll wear half and half. Is that fair?
That's fair. Okay. But again, I think...
Scripps hat, Mira Mesa shirt?
I think you'll get... crap from both sides at that point.
No.
I mean, that's like wearing a Don shirt and a Saints hat.
You were there at the Madden. They all showed up for me. Both teams got love for me. And I was a little
weird. Well, you
did
it at Mira Mesa, and then you had like 7 Scripps kids there.
It was a little weird to see more Scripps kids at Mira Mesa than Mira Mesa kids, but that's...
I'd have to agree with you on that one. Absolutely.
And they were big, man, I got to say.
They had some size.
They were pretty big.
The two tallest guys there yesterday, or a couple days ago, were Scripps kids.
And I'm really impressed with that running back over there. I really do. Mm-hmm. Rashad Griffin, I think that kid is majorly underrated, potentially a D1 guy. So
7-3, 8-2, I think is the range.
I would agree with you. I have no qualm with that.
Mira Mesa game's the coin flip.
Yep.
That's going to get me off my island a little bit. I've just been, making people angry at this podcast.
Since we've been going back and forth on this Kearney thing, does Scripps beat Kearney?
No.
Okay.
Do you think Scripps beats Kearney?
I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
What do you think Kearney's going to go record-wise?
6-4, 7-3.
6-4?
Yeah.
Who are their 4 losses?
Oh, geez. We're going back to Kearney. Wait, we already finished Kearney, though.
I know. I my losses for them are Morris and UC, so you got them losing to San Diego High on top of that and Scripps?
Yep.
All right, that's fair enough.
Defense is a question mark for me. I don't know if they can stop some of those high-powered offenses coming out of there.
I got Kearney coming in first. You have San Diego High.
Yep.
I have San Diego High coming in second. Who do you have coming in second?
I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say Scripps is going to...
You think Scripps goes second. So you think Scripps... You think Kearney loses to Scripps in San Diego.
Yep.
All right, so you have Kearney at third. I have Scripps at third.
Yep.
I think those top 3 teams are the top 3 teams, though, regardless.
Yeah, it's a 3-dog race. I think we both agree on that.
Yeah, I got Henry 4, and I got Mission Bay 5. Do you have Mission Bay 4 and Henry 5?
Yeah. Bay is going to finish at 4.
Henry, flip-flop on a lot of stuff.
Henry, I'm sorry, guys. I think you're... It's going to be a rough year again.
Well, they got a new stadium, so it should be on the rise there. That is the City League podcast. We went on a little bit of tangents there. It should be still fun, entertaining. Hopefully we'll see a Top Dog wearing a Kearney shirt sometime around the playoff time. If not, I'll be wearing my San Diego High shirt to a broadcast. When we broadcast some random game, they'll be like, why are you wearing a cable shirt? It's not going to matter.
I've got one your size, too, by the way.
Oh, perfect. So I got that will do it for us for the City League podcast. Be sure to tune into our other City Conference podcasts. Our other podcasts from Ren San Diego will be on the website 97throughthefansd.com, on Twitter at 97throughthefan, all over social media, and on iTunes where a podcast can be found. He is Top Dog. I'm Brayden Soprano. Thanks for joining us on the City League Preview.